Soulful. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today I have a recent Firebird Book Award winner to share with you. He is Ian Griffin. With his debut novel, The Birth of a Spy Couple, he introduced readers to the thrilling Rick and Katya series, blending adventure and intrigue to captivate audiences. The success of his first book was followed by the release of 33 or 9, the second installment in the series. The third book, Betrayal from Within, takes the reader deeper into the spy realm. And then we have Trash Can Terry that we're going to talk about as well. Ian's writing is rooted in the influences that have shaped his life and craft. Growing up in Texas, his deep connection to his home state resonates throughout his work. His family, military service, the allure of adventurous exploration, and the weight of war's impact all contribute to the profound tapestry of his storytelling. We have a lot to talk about today. Welcome to the network, Ian.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited. This is a great event. I'm excited to be able to talk about my books, so that's pretty cool.
Exactly. Anytime you have a chance to talk about your books, it's a good day, right?
It is. Definitely is.
Well, listen, congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Awards. All of these books placed well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I was really ecstatic and surprised, and it just it gives me a great sense of accomplishment to know that my books are respected in the community.
It's so true. You know, you put all of your heart and soul into it. I really have no idea how it will be received. It's really putting yourself out there. So when you get a third party endorsement, it's so exciting. It's thrilling. And that's part of what I love about the Firebird Book Awards is it makes people feel good and it spurs them on to keep writing.
I would agree. And I will say, as a writer, there's times that you write and you get down and say, is my stuff good enough? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of self-doubt in writing, at least on my part. And as I do that, and then you receive an award and you're like, okay, I'm ready to go write a bunch of chapters right now after that, because it's just like somebody just blew a breath of fresh air into your cell and such. So.
Yep. I agree. That's why I love what I do. It makes everybody feel good. I love on your website, you wrote, I am just an old soldier who relishes writing about the complexities of life. That was quite a sentence.
I think that's my mantra, to be honest, because I'm a person that never thought to be a writer. I just stumbled in it, to be honest. I did 31 years in the Army, and in the Army, we have to write a lot. And in the Army, we have to also read a lot. People don't realize that. The higher you go up, the more you have to read. And it kind of broke me. That kind of a crazy thing is I write fiction, but because being in the Army, I gravitated to always reading factual stuff mm-hmm. or historical stuff, because in the Army, we're reading about situation reports and intel. And so everything's factual, and I gravitate to that. So when I started writing, I said, whoa, I don't know if I want to write like that. I said, let me just tell a whole bunch of lies. That would be bad. And so I went the fiction route. So that's kind of how I came about on it. And in school, I was not a student of writing or English, to be honest. I struggled with it and didn't achieve very well at it. I passed, but I wasn't a scholastic honor in it by any means. And so this was truly the furthest thing from my mind. And I'd had, through the Army, I got my bachelor's, my master's degree. And as I retired, I went out and did some journalism classes at the community college for the heck of it. And as I went out there, once one of the things a teacher tells a former soldier to do something, well, we finish it all in 48 hours. Mm-hmm. So they gave us all our lessons up front in journalism. Well, you have to interview. And I finished it like within 48 hours. And so I had a lot of time on my hands. I said, well, let me just write a chapter of a trip that I had taken back to Europe with my wife a year prior. I took the pictures. I said, let me write a chapter. And so I did, and I gave it to her, and she read it and says, oh, I'm not really liking that too much. She said, you know what? I'm going to write a spy book now on that town that we spent 5 years in. And so that's what I did. That's how I started, to be honest, with that right there.
Mm. Don't you just love organic beginnings?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And for me, I guess, writing The Birth of a Spy Couple, I traced our steps. We'd spent 5 years there. Both of us had been in the military. So the book has so many similarities to our family. Both of them in the military. Same with us. We had five kids. Of course, the book has five kids. And the kind of stories kind of go fiction after that. But, you know, I said, the night we get there, we're getting stationed there in Kitchen, Germany, which is a beautiful town in Germany. We get to be spies, and that's how I structured the book, was off of that right there. Mm-hmm. In the and they would have to deal with raising a family and still struggle in the military and learn how to be spies.
Mm-hmm. I have an author who frequently enters, and one of his sayings is, twist, turn, bend the truth, and now you have fiction.
Yes, yes, I agree. I totally agree with that. I will say with all my books, and I had a book that won the 2023 Firebird Fourth Quarter Award, The Story of Briar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first book I put in. I only have five books, and but all my books, I have a lot of twists in it, and I have a strong female lead, and I have to have some tragedy somewhere in there. And a lot of bending the truth. I agree with that.
So let's just give us a peek into these three books, The Birth of a Spy Couple, 33 or 9, and Betrayal from Within. Don't give anything away, but just give us a peek as to what we can expect from those three.
Well, so from all three of them, it is Rick and Katya and their family's journey going through becoming spies. And they're still going to raise a family through there, and they're facing the difficulties with that. While at the beginning, they kind of, I will say they're kind of clumsy at being spies at first, and 33 or 9, they got really good at it. By the time you get to Betrayal from Within, they're very famous, and they're really at the top of their craft. In each book, they take place in Europe, in Germany, headed out of this town called Kitzingen, Germany, where my family spent 5 years, and I adored the town. I call it the Mayberry in Europe, and it was just a great place to raise a kid. It was a great little town on the Main River. They all base out of there, but we hop around throughout Europe, throughout there, and the 33 or 9 goes all the way down to Africa, and it goes to Marseille, France, and it goes to Prague, where the Betrayal from Within goes to Budapest, and things of that nature, into Wurzburg, and all those places that are in each one of those books, I've personally been in there. And so that's kind of one of the nuances I have, is at least in the spy series, I felt I need to feel comfortable enough to write about the places I need to have been there to fully absorb all that. The historical parts in each one of these books, in The Birth of a Spy Couple, it doesn't give a lot away, but there's a terrorist organization that I brought back an old spy cell that was against the West, called the Red Army Faction. I did all the history on it. I pulled it up, and I kind of brought it back to life and such in there, and gave it a new name, but I put how it ties back to the history side, historical side. And so each one of these, all the historical anecdotes there, I have in The Birth of a Spy Couple, I say the Prime Minister, and I'm in the book, and I'll say that the President of the United States comes through that October. They both actually came through that October. So I did my research on it to make sure that all those little nuances were accurate. Each one of them, the birth starts out in the 2005-2006 time frame. So one of the things I had to do was go back, which all authors, they do these things, but I went back and said, okay, what type of cell phone do they have back then? Do they have cameras on the cell phone? Do they not have the cameras on the cell phone? I had to make sure I got the right one for the right era. and just, you know, nuances like that right there. So, so that's the start of it. And then we hit into 33 or 9, and it's got a unique title. And, the title is 33 or 9, which is 33 pounds of enriched uranium or 9 pounds of enriched plutonium make a dirty bomb. And it kind of tells you what they're going after is somebody's releasing, trying to release a dirty bomb, you know, or sell a dirty bomb. And, so that's kind of, what the whole thing is there, and they're having to figure it all out as they go through and of course, stop that right there. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to Betrayal from Within, Rick and Katya, they've gotten very good, and their support networks got better, and as they had, they have somebody within that, of course, that the title says, betrays them, and it didn't give who it is because there's several characters in there. And one common theme, though, that I have in all three of them is each time I wanted to push them further and further to show that they're willing to go through everything for their job. And that's really what I've tried to do in each book is to push them further and further. So when you think of Rick and Katya, you're like, oh, yeah, they'll do anything to save the world or to do the mission type. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of my general themes regarding it that I kind of kept forefront in my mind is to make sure I depict that right there.
It's quite a personality trait for someone to be that dedicated to a mission.
Yes, yes. And what's funny is it brings conflict between Rick and Katya at times. And I really wanted to show their personality of how they deal with things. You know, the first time they might have to kill somebody or they might have to do something a little bit what they normal married couple wouldn't expect to have to do or something like that. I really wanted to show their feelings and all that, you know, people just don't go, they don't just shut up in color. They sit there and they go, they have strife with things. And I wanted to make sure that was evident, mm-hmm. not a stoic, you know, spy movie where the spy is just stoic and everything else and has no feelings is I wanted to put that in there.
Mm-hmm. So clearly you did a lot of research, which makes me want to ask the question to maybe speak to the balance between real life espionage tactics and then taking some creative license as you were writing.
Yeah. So my time in the military was not an espionage. So a lot of it is embellishing the mind and stretching it, but I do know a lot about military tactics and how things operate. And I do understand the intelligence community pretty well. So probably a CIA agent would read this and go, yeah, this is just that Ian Griffin guy having fun. And it is fun, but there's some, when you get into 33 or 9, there's a lot of things that are revealed that weren't revealed in the book of the spy couple that are just monumental revelations in all this. And in the first book, I made a point that didn't ever really say who they worked for. I just said they were in the spy organization, you know. And then I kind of let that fester and sit there. And then when they wasn't sure, it came out, you know. And so some of those things, I had to do a lot of research regarding this, is, you know, how they would approach certain things. Kind of funny, I was researching about 33 or 9, and sometimes research you have to do and you have to pull back books, and sometimes fate has it, somebody lands in your lap and you get lucky. And I tell this story because I flew back to Germany when I was writing the second one to go visit my wife's family over there. And kind of strange, she's a German citizen but came to America as an exchange student and joined the United States Army. So that's how we met, was in the Army. Mm-hmm. So that's the true part. But anyway, so I'm flying over. We're going to go see her family, and I'm sitting next to a guy on the airplane. And as I talked to him, he said, well, I'm flying all the way to South Africa. I'm an inspector for nuclear power plants. I'm like, what? I said, I got tons of questions for you. How are you moving this stuff? You know, and Fate just had it. I sat there and I'm like, I talked to him for 15 minutes and I had all the answers I needed for my book that I was sitting there going, okay. I said, how hard is it to move this? And he goes, well, you would need this and this and this. And I'm like, awesome. So just Fate has it sometimes that you just find the right person to help you out. And so anyway, but there's a lot of nuances, I will say, that, you know, I'll do some cliche things in there, kind of spy cliche, and then I'll move away from them where it's just kind of not so spy cliche. Mm-hmm. I adore stuff like Ian Fleming's books. I adore them, but I would rather write spies that are more modern, more like Jason Bourne, I guess, more like that style. So. Mm-hmm.
So you really have to think about how to keep your stories fresh and avoid falling into the common tropes of the spy genre.
Yes. That there. And like I said, it's the Rick and Katya story, but as you start reading, you start evolving, you'll notice that each of the five kids, as they're growing up in there, are starting to get their hands dabbled into it by accident, you know. And so that was a theme that I really wanted to push. And one of the things in there, they have a guide through here that the guy who met them is a guy named Franz. And he's a German guy, and he's the one who courted them to be spies. And as he did, as they move along through there, he's guiding them because he's higher up in the agency. He's guiding them. And but there are predicaments where things don't always flush out just right, you know, and things happen. And there's a major thing in The Birth of a Spy Couple is it's not letting the cat out of the bag, but Rick and Katya debate on whether to tell the kids or not because the kids have been danger awful lot. And as I address it in there, they do inform the kids. And Fonz comes out and says, we have several spy couples that come to this quandary, you know, and some have decided not to, but the ones who have decided have been more successful. And as the book goes out, I had a lot of people hit me up and says, that was so cool that mm-hmm. you did that. I'm like, well, this was just a dilemma as I was writing on how to do it. I really didn't put a lot of major thought into it. I just said I had to answer that question, you know, do I put them involved or do I not put them involved? But I had a lot of people write me back and loved that idea. Mm-hmm. So
you did it.
Yeah.
Are there more Rick and Katyas coming along, or do they end with this third book?
So, no, there's going to be several more. I'm in the process of writing a different style book. It's more of like my Trash Can Terry in the Briar book. And it's going to be called A Widow Savior. I'm like about the last, I'm on the last three chapters of the first draft on it. I'm 10 chapters in what I call Rick and Katya number 4, which would be called Ascend from the Ashes. And, So I'm excited about that. To me, it's writing the spy books is easier to write than Trash Can Terry mm-hmm. in my Briar book. They're just a lot easier to write because I can be military stylish in it and I can be brash, and where on the other two, I'm kind of reserved a little bit and I'm really having to dig deeper in my heart to try to put it on paper. That makes sense.
It does make sense. And it's also then interesting that you even go that route, that you put yourself in that situation to write something that's a little bit uncomfortable to write.
Well, I will say the Briar book that won in 2023, the Four Quarter Firebird Award, when it won, that one there, is my first non-spy book that I wrote. And I will say this, I'll say a couple things about it, is a lot of those stories are my grandfather's stories and his family that he told to me that were super embellished. Mm-hmm. And I put them in a female sense and such. That's the first thing. The second thing, I knew I had a gem with that, with those stories. And I said, I did not want to have that be my first book that I wrote. I wanted it to be maybe later so I could get better at writing. I did not want to blow that book, to be honest. And it won 3 awards with Firebird, and it's won a ton of awards. It's really done really great. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoyed it. It was one of those times I sat down and I just did nothing but write that book, you know. Mm-hmm. And not where I can write a couple of chapters with the spy books and I can break away from and come right back to it. Mm-hmm. I can't do that with stuff like Trash Can Terrier, bro. I have to really focus in on it hard. So that's kind of the story there. And that's stepping away from the spy genre. I enjoy writing kind of those historical Southern fiction books too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what Trash Can Terrier is a Southern fiction romance. I never thought of myself to be a romance author. I never thought I would do that, but I guess it pans out. So, and kind of across genre, I do like that style, to be honest. So,
well, give us a peek into Trash Can Terry. The title is very captivating as well. You're not really sure where that's taking you until obviously you get into the book. So, give us a peek into that book. I like that book.
Yeah. So, Trash Can Terry. I really debated on what the cover was going to be. I really thought about just putting an old trash can on top of it, leaving it black and white and calling it Trash Can Terry. But it's to give a synopsis, on the cover there's a young man named Lucas who works at a gas station in the late 80s, early 90s. And he has a best friend, and his best friend's sister, who's a year younger, he starts dating her. And he never looked at her in that way before, and disconnected. And he was hung up on that she was a year younger, you know, how he had to hang up on things in life as they grow up. And as he's working at this gas station, he runs into a homeless guy named Trash Can Terry. Now, there's some similarities with that. I worked at a gas station in the late 80s, I had ran into a homeless guy only one time. Just one time I ran into him. I couldn't tell you exactly what the words it said, but he said something to me when I was taking out the trash around the side that was so profound, it sounded like Shakespeare. Now, he's vastly different from the character I have in here, Trash Can Terry. As far as I know, I've only met him at one time. And that's all I knew about him, but this one here, I kind of took Trash and Terry, and I said, what if I made him where he becomes friends with him and becomes, you know, almost like part of their brotherhood or their club or their group or their family, you know, bringing in. So what we do, we brought a homeless guy in our circle. And so that's what I really did with Lucas and Autumn, the other two main characters, is bring them into their inner circle. And as they're going through their relationship, they're going to face some grief and Trash Can Terry there along with them the whole way. And there's some dark secrets in there, of course. You know, you didn't write anything without any dark secrets in it. And but he's kind of not necessarily a moderator, but kind of at times the common piece in there.
I had a feeling as I was reading Trash Can Terry that it wasn't all from your imagination. It just felt too real.
Yes. I had worked 4 my years of my life at an oil company called Evett's Oil Company. It no longer exists. And it had a gas station there that I stocked shelves at night. And in the summertime, it was great because it put me into overtime as a kid, which was something all kids want more money, you know. But I had a lot of experiences there, and working at the gas station really set a foundation in my life for work ethic and other things. And in the book Trash Can Terry, you know, it goes through what somebody who had worked at a gas station back in the late 80s would do. I call it sticking tanks. They'd measure tanks, you know, they take out the trash, they'd stock the shelves and all those things. And I patterned it after the gas station that I worked at. So the displacement is truly the gas station that used to be there. They moved it, put a new gas station and moved it all around now. But it was truly after that. So that made it comfortable for me to write when I'm writing something like that. Is I need a few things I can be comfortable to feel easier in writing, I guess. So that part there, and the part that part was about my life a little bit, and then just truly that era. The rest of it, joined the military. There's a part where he joins the military. That is, but the reasons behind all that's in Trash Can Terry, that wasn't the reasons why I joined the military and such. So,
well, I thought that was a great book. I enjoyed it. Any more similar books coming along?
I have one called The Widow Savior that I'm working on right now, that I've got about four chapters left. It'll be about the same size as Trash Can Terry. It will be a different style book. It will be a book that, but it'll be more in the lines of, it takes place in the World War II era, the 1940s, and there's a woman who has a 12-year-old son, and her husband is at war, and they get the notice that he passed away. And the town gravitates around her, really takes care of her, then something bad happens, and the town turns her back on her. And so who's the widow savior? That's what everybody has to figure out in the book, you know. But somebody becomes the widow savior.
Well, we can look forward to that as well. You've got a lot going on there, don't you, Ian?
I do. there's a lot of things in my mind, and I'll write a book, and I get halfway through, and I'm like, I need to finish this book, because I got two other things popping in my head also. So.
I love that. All righty. Well, we've highlighted your first three books in the Rick and Katya series, talked about Trash Can Terry. Anything we missed that you wanted to talk about today?
Well, those are really it. I do have the story of Briar, which won a while back, and it's an incredible story. I hinted on it that it's a lot of my grandfather's stories, and I will tell you how it opens up is the grandmother is sitting at her husband's funeral, and she looks over at the only living relative she has, which is her grandson, who's about 28 years old, and he's there with his fiance, and she goes, let's go back to the house, and let's go talk about all the things you don't know about your family and all the things you don't know about you. And that's how the story starts out. And he never knew her nickname was Briar. He just thinks of her as a nice petite grandma who's very nice, and did not realize that she was the matriarch of the family and things of that nature. And people who've read it compare it to two books. They compare it to The Notebook and to Where the Crawdads Sing. So
that feels good, doesn't it?
It does. Yes. It really does. Mm-hmm. I let me knock on wood, because now I will get one, but I've yet to have a bad review on that book. Yep. And it's just been phenomenal. So.
Oh, I love that. That was just meant for you to write. I like that so much. I know you're happy that you wrote it and got it out there and shared it with the world.
Yes, yep. It was fun to write, and it was fun to watch it go across the finish line. I can tell you that.
Absolutely. All right, Ian. Well, if you would, give us any and all contact information that you think our listeners need so they can find out more about you and get copies of your books.
Oh, okay. So that's too easy. You can go on my webpage, which is iangriffinbooksalltogether.com, and you can find everything right there. Everything is set up by Ian Griffin Books. So you can go to Ian Griffin Books. You can test drive every one of my books. Read the first six chapters for free on that webpage. It'll take you where you can buy them at Amazon and things of that nature. On Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, I believe that's in YouTube. It's under Ian Space Griffin Space Books. Okay. And
Well, you are everywhere you are supposed to be, right?
I hope so.
All right. We are speaking with Ian Griffin. The books are titled The Birth of a Spy Couple, 33 or 9, Betrayal from Within, Trash Can Terry, and The Story of Briar, which was the previous winner. His website is iangriffinbooks.com. Ian, thank you. I am so happy that we had this opportunity to share all of the books and the inspiration behind it. And I don't have to say keep writing, because you are already on that track. And how about this? Keep sharing with us. I look forward to more.
Well, thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.